Precious truth, isn't it? That he doesn't remember those sins against us at all. Any testimonies you'd like to share this evening? Resurrection Lord's Day testimonies or anything else? AM. That's nice. Wow. That's great. Thanks for that update, Dwayne. That's a faithful brother. 6 a.m. there was about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning here, so you're all sleeping soundly. He always calls in the afternoon, so you have to say good night to him, and he says good afternoon to you. Thank you, Naomi, for ministering that way tonight. Looks like Daniel is out for the count here. Any other testimonies or updates, prayer updates? Yes. Okay. Oh, I know he explained to me what he was suffering, and it sounded very similar to my vertigo attacks that I've gotten, but the only problem is his have lasted for weeks. So, very difficult. Yeah. Keep praying for those dear folks. Anyone else? I just testify that I had a wonderful day today, all day. This morning, up early, and felt very energetic, and that we had early service, and then seemed like the preaching was well received this morning, and we had a number of folks here who need to hear the gospel. I kept looking to see if people would come to the front row for me to speak with them, but Susan and Christine were sitting up in the front, and I came up, and they were talking about something else, so I figured I'd just go away and they probably didn't need my particular help on the gospel, so I'll go on and find someone else. Yeah, that's okay. I was just checking to make sure. But, yeah, so, and then we had a nice afternoon getting to know Bernard Barton, right? Barton, okay. And nice fellow. And at our home and other family over as well, we had two full tables, and that's always nice to have that. And let me tell you, I'm just now feeling like my stomach is not stuffed out. And I'm thinking a very small dinner tonight. It will be totally sufficient, maybe a little snack, and then hit the sack. So there's so much food today. Yeah, Brother Andy was, he's in even worse shape because he was here for the breakfast this morning, then they had a big family lunch, and then they have this dinner tonight in Howell. So we don't have to do that part, but yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's full gospel preaching. anyone else? No. I had a question for you. I thought we'd probably have a little shorter time tonight, so just a little question to ponder. Is the celebration of church holidays a practice that you can trace to the Bible or the New Testament? And how, if so, and what frequency are we to celebrate these holidays? What do you think about that question, Susan? Mm-hmm. 90 or 95, yeah. So the Lord commanded those feasts of the Jewish people to be remembered every year, three of them. There were other situations throughout the year and other remembrances, but those three for sure, every male was to appear before the Lord and before the altar. So that was true. But what about in the New Testament era? What about any specific instruction in the church age from Acts 2, the birthday of the church, forward? What do you think about that? Maybe your minds are walking through Acts and Romans and 1 Corinthians and trying to figure out if you remember anything. Any instructions on that? I mean, do you remember an instruction to celebrate Easter every year? Certainly not Easter, not that way. That's a term that's derived from elsewhere. But Christmas is another one. I'm just thinking of those two major days. We're not told when Christmas even is, right? I mean, yes, right. Right. Right, and Lent, and and of course the Western Church, and okay, that was really December 25th, not a moment before, huh? Right. Herod's birthday or something. There's something about should we do this sort of thing? Is it regulated by the Bible or permitted? You know, I don't have in my head right off the ability to take you through that whole regulative principle thing, but you may have heard of that before. So it's not, we're coming up with a hard time here finding any text of Scripture that teaches us to remember these things yearly, yes? Messianic churches don't, huh? But they would still celebrate Passover, right? Yeah, for sure. Right, Messianic congregations. Well, any remembrances? Commemorations? Yeah, there's one. And that was not, the Lord's table now is not regulated as far as how often or what exact days. The early church seemed to celebrate or remember the Lord's table often, didn't they? And Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. But the Lord seems to teach us there that we need that remembrance more than once a year. Some people feel that monthly is not enough. That should be every Lord's Day. Brethren, for example, others. So that's a commemoration that's given to us for a regular remembrance. But there's none for yearly remembrance. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to do that. I think there's another one that's sort of implicit in the New Testament, and that is that we have decided to meet on the first day of the week, which is the anniversary of, you said anniversary, that's not the right word, but the commemoration of the resurrection, right? That's a remembrance of it in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul talks about when you come together on the first day of the week, you're taking up your offerings, storing them up. There's some examples there of meeting on the first day of the week. I think in, let me see if I can find this one in Acts. Is it in Acts? Yeah, in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Fortunately for you and me, we won't do that tonight. What's that? Yeah, right, yeah. Poor Eutychus was overcome by sleep, like Daniel is right now. 1 Corinthians 16. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay aside something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So there's a little instruction about giving. You see a little mention of the first day in John's revelation in the Apocalypse as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So, I don't have any problem at all with us having a yearly commemoration of these events, significant theological events. But we're not going to go to bat or die on a hill of saying December 25th is the day. It's probably not the proper time of year even, probably in the springtime. But and really our Easter celebration could be, our resurrection day could be on the day of, well, a few days after Passover, which this year Passover was when? Do you remember? Did you know? Anybody? Yeah, Passover was Monday this year, 6 days ago, I guess. So that would be the Good Friday, so to speak, and the Good Monday. But it always, the way we do it always falls on a Friday, the way the calendar's going. Of course, people have gotten up in arms and debated over this, what the date should be for Easter, according to different calendars. And the Eastern and Western Church have different ways of figuring this. And what do we know? We don't need to get involved in all of that. But okay, let me see. So we've got a couple of remembrances, the Lord's table and the implicit one on Sunday. Some people, you know, get very Susan, I think, was saying, are very sticklerish about which days and the times and all of that. Yes. Services on Friday, and what was the reason? Okay. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, and I don't have any problem with that at all myself. I know some people would, but here's the thing that Romans 14 teaches us, that some people esteem one day more than another, and others esteem them every day alike. And so, you know, is Good Friday or Easter Sunday more holy than all the rest of the days of the year? And some people might say, absolutely. Others think, well, no, we should treat every day the same. We should honor the Lord all the time and worship and reverence Him in a way. If we do that on Resurrection Sunday or Good Friday, we ought to do so on every day of the year. I've brought this up before when the question arises, so what day do you have church services on in Israel when the weekend is Friday and Saturday? Sunday. You get up Sunday morning and what do? You go to work. That's right. That's what I did when I was there working. Very interesting. Did you have a question or comment? Yes, Christina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a feast day, that would be a feast day, so Jewish feast days. I think principally this does apply. We're not into the shadow of the things, which Paul says here, but the substance is what matters. So the shadows, the new moons, the Sabbaths, the this and the that, really concerned about, you know, eternal matters of one's soul and salvation. And if they don't want to or don't see that Sunday is any special day out of the week and want to have a meeting on Friday, well, we're not gonna get involved in a dispute about that. There's no point in that. It's convenient for us to have meetings on Sunday because that's a day of our weekend, right? So, but if somehow suddenly changed and we had Monday and Tuesday off and had to work Saturday and Sunday, we'd probably change our main meeting to one of those days we had off just to make sure more people could come. We used to have Good Friday services at noon all the time, and I did that for some years, and then lately we switched to 7 o'clock in the evening. Say we're bowing to the pressures of the society, but, you know, a lot of places don't give any credence or any time of day to Good Friday. I remember being in graduate school, and I could take off any time I wanted to. You know, I just had to get my work done, so I could come for a noon service. But some of you folks are kind of stuck in the office and have appointments and things like that. So good to have it in the evening when more people can participate, I think. Right, drive-in ashes. Wow. Yeah, right. There's obviously a point at which you can take things so far that it becomes irreverent, but we're not hopefully talking about people that are at that stage of things, you know. Yes, Naomi. It is because, you know, so we if you look at kind of the picture of things from the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth 6 days, rested the seventh, and then I learned this from Chafer in his Major Bible Themes. The eighth day is like the new first day. It's the new creation. And so we have then on, well, Sabbath, Saturday, then the next Sunday, that commemoration of our Lord's resurrection. And obviously, if there was no resurrection, there'd be no Christian church. And if there's no Christian church, we wouldn't meet on Sundays at all, right? So it is a commemoration of that resurrection. Did you have another? Chavez, it's his birthday today. They didn't do an Easter one. I agree. I mean, it's a sad testimony. I was disappointed about that. Martin Luther King Day, but not Good Friday. Earth Day, but not Easter. Yeah. So, well, any other comments? I don't want to cut anybody off. We're pretty much out of time, though. I did want to just bring that to your attention. The Scriptures don't command us to have those holiday celebrations, but it's our view that, mine at least, that they don't prohibit it, as long as we don't make them a replacement for the meaning of those. In other words, we don't want to be so traditional that it's just, okay, we come on Easter, we say, you know, Christ is risen, we do this, we do that, and we have the certain color vestments and this and that, and that all replaces the meaning of it. So my burden today was really to remind us all, why is it that we have Easter, and to correct that thing which has happened in our society, which, you know, Easter has just become commercial. Easter Bunny, we're joking about the little peeps today, you know, the little candies and the chocolate eggs and all that. I like chocolate eggs just like the best of you, but, you know, I use that as an excuse to eat some, but certainly not not the purpose of it all. So, yes, Vincent. Oh, sorry. Okay, Laura. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I guess that may be because that word has become generic enough, but Joyce Troy said she has to work this afternoon, and she said, "Boy, there's going to be a lot of people that hear Happy Easter from me," she said. I said, yeah, go for it. Absolutely. Vincent. Oh, yeah, 1 Corinthians 11. Yep. Yep, it was.
So we have admonitions there to, yes, worship, keep it worship.
Yes, amen. True enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity for us, but if you waste it like that, boy, that's tough. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Thank you all for coming tonight and sharing a nice evening service with us. Lord, it's our prayer that you will help us to handle the issue of days and years and festivals, remembrances correctly, that we will not turn them into traditions that have really no meaning, but through them we would be able to honor you. And I pray that today we have honored you with the teaching and preaching of the Word and the singing and all that happened in our interactions with our family. May we take those opportunities that you give us and use them for the glory of Christ our Savior. We pray in His name, asking for safe passage home this evening and a week this week in which we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.